In Leviticus chapter 8 is where we'll be starting. If you haven't already turned there and you'd like to, go ahead. This is a difficult book to teach, for me anyway, in that I know that we're under grace rather than under law. But yet, in order to understand the grace aspect and to understand what we've been redeemed from and this type thing, actually, that's not even a correct statement, because the law was given to the Jews. So all this actually applied to the Jews, unless you proselyted over into Judaism, okay? But with all that in mind, we can see that all these things were pointing to something, and yet at the same time, they were working in a nation, keeping that nation separated for God. And you'll find that that's exactly what this Constitution, what is commonly called the Law of Moses, that's what it did. It kept Israel separated for God. It was a nation set apart for God, and it had a very peculiar constitution to it, okay? Now, in this, there are some pretty graphic things laid out as far as just everyday laws. And I'm not going to shy away from those. We're going to read it, and we're going to read it as it's written, okay? And this just give you a little insight that God is interested in all aspects of life, and He knows all aspects of life. Okay? Now, when we get into chapter 8, it records the consecration of the priest, the tabernacle, and the furniture and utensils of the tabernacle. These Old Testament acts of anointing give us tremendous insight into understanding New Testament anointing. Now, last session we mentioned this to a degree anyway, telling you that the definition of anointing doesn't just really tell you what anointing is. I mean, the rub or smear doesn't tell you a whole lot, does it? But through the act of anointing, and this is what we're going to look at here, an object or a person, whichever, is set apart for a particular service. Now, in this eighth chapter, we can see that this is talking about Aaron being set apart as the high priest, and his sons are being set apart as priests. And I want to just do a little bit of reading, and we'll talk at various places, but let's begin with verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. Excuse me. Now you see that God has initiated this, right? This is one of the key things I want you to see as we go through here, that God is initiating all this, not man. And when Moses does what God tells him to in assembling all the congregation, he doesn't start the procedure that God has given him until he tells the congregation, now what I'm doing is what God has told me to do. You understand this was his brother, and these were his nephews? And you understand people talk? Well, they'd never be there if it wasn't family. Right? Blood's thicker than water, right? And all this type stuff. Well, Moses is making certain that they understand that God is the one that's initiating all this. Now, remember, they made special garments. We went through that to a certain degree anyway already, not in a lot of detail, but for the priest and the high priest, there were certain garments made, and God gave the instructions on how these garments were to be made. And in verse 7, talking about Moses now, it says, and he put the tunic on him. This is talking about Aaron. I should go back, I guess, and clarify this. Verse 6. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons. What's the first thing he did? Washed them with water. In other words, they have to get cleaned up before they put the garment on, don't they? Isn't it interesting to me, anyway, I can see repentance before salvation in this. A lot of people simply talk about getting saved and going through this, but what was John's message? Repent. When the religious people came to him, what did John say? He said, bring forth fruit that demonstrates that you've repented. You guys, I don't see any repentance in you guys. That's the underlying message behind this anyway. He said, now demonstrate your repentance with your lifestyle. Now when we get over into Acts, I believe it's 2:38, Peter's preached this message to these people on the day of Pentecost. And their hearts were convicted. And they asked him, what is it that we should do? What was the first thing Peter said? Repent. So repentance precedes the new birth, doesn't it? But it all takes place at the same time, if that makes sense. You can repent that quick, you understand. But if you don't have a repentant heart, what are you going to get? Saved from what? If you're saved, it's from something, you understand. And we're saved from our sin. Why are we saved from our sin? Because we repent of our sin. So we get saved from it. Now, he washes them or cleanses them, and then he clothes them. We repent, and what takes place? We get clothed with righteousness, don't we? And I personally believe that at least an element of these garments are portraying that message of righteousness, okay? It says, he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and Thummim in the breastplate, and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. In other words, Moses is clothing Aaron. Interesting, isn't it? He's equipping him to do his duty. Now, I can't tell you a whole lot about this. I've researched and can't find a whole lot about the Urim and Thummim. Other than the fact, it appears that they were two stones, and then when they sought the counsel of God, they turned colors. That's the best I can go with that, okay? And if you read the Old Testament in the times when kings or sought the priest or sought the Lord, they would go to the high priest who had the Urim and Thummim. Isn't that interesting? And he would tell them, you know, what the will of God was through that procedure. All right? And that's about all I can tell you, you understand. But anyway, God had designed it this way. And in other words, even under the old covenant, he had given an avenue to find out the will of God on things that weren't recorded. Well, now we have the Word of God, just like they had the law of Moses, but thank God we have the Spirit of God that will convey the will of God to us on things that aren't documented. Interesting, isn't it? Then in verse 10, it says Moses took the anointing oil. Now remember, this is the special ingredient oil. And anointed, note this, the tabernacle and all that was in it. And consecrated them. Who can tell me what was in the tabernacle? Hello. Pardon me? Ark of the Covenant was in the holy place. All right. Holy of Holies, I'm sorry. The lampstand, the golden altar of incense, the table of showbread. That was what was in the tabernacle itself, the tent. The tent's called the tabernacle, okay? That was what was in there. How many items? And the utensils. Okay? So you have four major items in there. So what does he do? It says that he anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it. He sprinkled some of it on the altar seven times, anointed the altar and all its utensils, see that? And the laver and its base to consecrate them. Now he's outside the courtyard, isn't he? That's where the laver and the brazen altar was. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Now, as I was reading this today, just refreshing myself a little bit, this just sort of jumped out at me. What did the anointing do? So verse 12 says, anointed to consecrate. Help me. Anointed him to consecrate. So what did the anointing do? It set him apart. Now we can learn some things if we'll just follow through. Now everything in that tabernacle was anointed, so what did it do? It set each one of those things apart for that particular use. Okay? Yes. Yes, everything's set up here. Then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes, and put hats on them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering. Now, what did that do? Laying their hands on the head, what did that do? They are identifying, they are becoming one with the sin offering. And it's a substitutionary thing that's taking place here because this animal is taking their place. Okay? And their sins transferred to that animal. Now, obviously, that is not a natural thing. But God is using a natural act to convey a spiritual message. All right? Verse 15, Moses killed it, talking about the bull for the sin offering. Then he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger and purified the altar. Now, I want you to note this. You're going to see two things as we go through these, the various things in Leviticus. You're going to see two major things, and that's blood and oil. The blood purifies. The oil sets apart. What does the water do? Cleanses. Okay. It says he killed it, then he took the blood, put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger, and purified the altar, and he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. Then he took all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar, but the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its offal or waste, he burned with fire outside the camp as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now note this, they're not burning the hide and the unusable stuff, you understand. All that's taken outside the camp. They're not sacrificing, I should say. All that other stuff is taken outside of the camp at a designated place, a clean place, and that is burned. Now we know that according to the writer of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, that was pointing to Jesus because he refers to this Levitical law right here, and he talks about Jesus going outside, being crucified outside the gate. As a matter of fact, if you read Hebrews 13, verses 11 through 13, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let me just ask a question before I go any farther here. And be honest with you, be honest with God. All right? And you'll be honest with everybody, with me, all right? How many of you have ever read all the way through the book of Leviticus? Good. Okay. Now, that was a filler, okay? Because I feel like we need to do a little reading as we go along. Okay? Because I think there's things in the Bible that you wouldn't know, that you wouldn't even think God would put in the Bible. And I want you to read them, okay? So we'll do a little more reading than I'd planned, all right? So now it says in verse 17, the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its offal, or the waste parts, he burned with fire outside the camp as the Lord commanded Moses. Then note that it's after the bull's offered as the sin offering. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Now, what's a burnt offering? What kind of fragrance is it to the Lord? Sweet aroma to the Lord. Not the sin offering, but this burnt offering. So notice that he has a sin offering and a burnt offering, and you can't eat the sin offering. Okay? All the way through, you couldn't eat the sin offering, all right? Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the second ram. Note this. This is a ram of consecration. So we've had a sin offering, we've had a burnt offering, and now we're having a consecration, all right? And then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. And he took some of its blood, and I want you to look at this, and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. You want somebody to put a little blood on you? Put blood on your ear, put blood on your thumb, put blood on your foot. And I'm just going to give this to you as how it came to me. What God was doing, what does the blood do? Purifies. To me, it's symbolizing the hearing, the doing, and the walking. You hear with your ears, you do with your hands, you walk with your feet, right? So he's trying to get the total man purified. His hearing purified, his work purified, and his way purified. Okay? Now, keep reading. Then he, verse 24, then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of the right ears, on the thumbs of their right hand, and on the big toes of their right feet. Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and their fat, and the right thigh, and from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. Now note that anointed with oil. That's not talking about the anointing oil. Okay? That's just talking about the oil that was to be poured on this particular offering. And it's interesting that they put the word anointed there. And he put all these in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar on the burnt offering. They were consecration offerings for a sweet aroma that was an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now note this, the sin offering is a burnt offering, isn't it? The burnt offering is a burnt offering. The consecration offering is a burnt offering. See, there are various types of burnt offerings, okay? Some are sweet-smelling and some aren't. Sin offerings never anything that you're to do anything to make it pleasant for the Lord, okay? Sin's not pleasant to Him. Verse 29 says, Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, I want you to note this. God's given him the best meat of this animal that they're sacrificing on the altar. Now, they're going to eat this consecration, okay? They're going to eat this. That was Moses' part, all right? As the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, the people can say, well, Moses is taking the best part for himself. No, he's taking what God told him to take, okay? Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar, and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. Note this. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with them. What consecrated them? He's using the blood and the anointing oil, isn't he? And Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle meeting, eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offering, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire. In other words, you cannot leave any. What you can't eat, if you're stuffed, you can't eat anymore, then you're to burn it with fire to where it's totally consumed, okay? And you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you. Now I want you to note this. There's more to it than just a little act of pouring oil on it and you're consecrated. No, there's a time period involved here. Now to me that speaks a message. When God sets a person apart for ministry doesn't mean that that person goes then. There's a separation and there's a commission. There's a call to God and there's a commission for God. God calls you to Him. What's He wanting to do? He's wanting to equip you so He can send you for Him. So I see here that when you're set apart for God, then there's a period of time involved until this consecration is consummated. And here again, if you use the standard of most people, 7 means completion, until this consecration is complete, okay? Now, in verse 34 it says, as He has done this day, so the Lord is commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore, you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days. And keep the charge of the Lord so that you may not die. Let me tell you something. When the anointing oil is poured on you, it is an awesome thing. We're going to see this here. It's a very awesome thing. He said, for so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. All right, now we get into verse 9. It says, it came to pass on the eighth day. What's the eighth day referring to? That's the day after their 7 days of consecration, right? That Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today, the Lord will appear to you. That's prophetic, isn't it? So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering, your burnt offering, make atonement for yourself and for the people. Notice he had to do it for himself first. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went to the altar, killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him. He dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, poured the blood at the base of the altar, but the fat, the kidneys, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. You see that? And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offerings. He took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, killed it, offered it for sin, like the first one, and he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, burned it on the altar besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram of sacrifice of peace offering, which were for the people, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood which he sprinkled all around on the altar, and the fat from the bull, the ram, the fatty tail, what covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver. And they put the fat on the breast. Then he burned the fat on the altar, but the breast and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses had commanded. You see all that? A lot of reading there, but we have to lay a foundation, okay? Aaron, Moses is coaching him through this. In other words, he's actually learning this as he goes. This is the first time this has ever been initiated. God didn't tell Aaron, even though Aaron's the high priest, God did not tell Aaron what to do. He told Moses what to do, and Moses told Aaron what to do and walked him through it. Now, look at let's go to verse 22. It says, then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Now, what has Moses prophesied? God's going to appear? Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their face. You understand, you read this and it sounds like they're the ones building the fires and all this. But what they're doing is laying out how all this sacrifice is laid out and how it's done, but God lighted the fire. And every time they moved, they had to take the coal of the altar. You didn't go in there and strike a match and light it the next round. They kept that eternal fire, you understand. The one that God ignited. That's important that you understand that, because to me it's conveying a message. God initiated this. This is God's fire. You use His stuff to do His stuff. You don't use man's stuff to do God's stuff. You understand? Now, as we go along, we're going to see here in this next chapter, a couple boys decided they'd use their stuff to do God's stuff, and He killed them. You look in verse 1, chapter 10. It says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. In other words, they're doing something God didn't initiate. Now, to me, this is a powerful message to the churches today, to ministries today. Don't do what God hasn't initiated. You know, feeding the hungry is a great thing. Clothing the naked is a great thing. But if God doesn't initiate that for your ministry or for your church, then you let someone else do that and you do what God called you to do. You do what your fire's lit for, you understand? Now, with all that in mind, it says that they offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Now, this thought came to me, and I just wrote it in my footnote, zeal without wisdom is dangerous. You understand, these boys were impressed with what was going on. And they were going to do something that appears to be honorable. You understand, offering incense before the Lord was an honorable thing. But God didn't call for it. God is not the one that initiated it. I've seen this happen with gifts of the Spirit through the years. And I got to the point that I at one time I wondered, why in the world would he write in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, not to despise prophesying? And then after I heard so much stuff, I said, I know why he wrote that. Because I'm about to the point that I despise all that I'm hearing come forth that's supposed to be prophecy. It's zeal. It's something initiated by man. It's not something initiated by God. And to me, it seemed like the things that I was hearing wouldn't bear witness to my spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. If God speaks and you're spiritual, you're going to bear witness. Even if you don't understand it, you're still going to bear witness that this is God. I've heard God say something. I say, God, I don't understand that. I know it's You, but I don't understand that. And then the other things you hear appeals to your flesh. And when people stand up and do things like that, to me it's offering strange fire before the Lord. It's something that God did not initiate. Don't be guilty of that. It's a dangerous thing. It's good to have a zeal for the Lord, but your zeal must be according to wisdom. Standing up and prophesying doesn't make you spiritual. The person that'll sit down and keep their mouth shut is more spiritual. If God didn't speak, you understand. They're far more spiritual, more in tune. So just remember that. Don't be offering strange fire before the Lord. And I could go on for a while with this. And another thing to me is in praise and worship. We can get into praise and worship and offer a lot of strange fire before God. I've seen some things that was called praise and worship, and I don't know who they were praising and worshiping unless it was themselves.